it's up to me. I trust that you're setting goals, that you're writing those goals down, that you're examining those goals every day. You're measuring your progress. It's a spiritual matter, and it's something that we really, really need to take seriously. We've talked about the spiritual, the mental, the emotional. Last week we talked about the physical, and that's so important. I'm so glad that Tammy's doing that class. I have seen spiritual problems caused by people misunderstanding certain things about the way that we take care of our bodies. I remember dealing with a situation some time ago, excuse me, that a loved one had been really, really, really sick. And the sons were praying for healing. Well, they didn't get healing. And they didn't understand why they didn't get healing. But what they didn't realize was that loved one who passed had abused their body their whole life. They ate everything they wanted, everything that they saw. They ate all of the wrong things, none of the good things. And you know, it's almost like we expect to sow bad things in our bodies and then ask God to heal them after we have abused them. It kind of goes against the whole thing of stewardship. I mean, it's almost like, okay, I'm planting watermelons, but I want cucumbers. No, if you plant watermelons, you're getting watermelons. And we saw God's grace in this person's life and how God ministered, and they went home to be with the Lord very peacefully. But it left a question in the family's mind, and why didn't God do something? Well, very likely God was speaking to that person, bring your body under control. Bring your body under control. You know, really, there's no difference in addiction and addiction. People are addicted to food. You know, most bad food tastes good. Have you noticed that? I mean, it's full of sugar. It's full of fat. Fat tastes good, but it's not good for you. So anyway, I'm glad Tammy is going to do this class. And if you want to learn how to eat better, you know, you can lose weight and still destroy your health. A few years ago, I know folks that, and I did this too. I've tried everything you can imagine to lose weight. I've gone on diets, but I went on FenFen. Anybody remember FenFen? Well, I lost weight doing FenFen. And I had other people at the same time that took FenFen that wound up with heart problems because of FenFen. So you can lose weight, but not every way is a healthy way to lose weight. What we need to learn is to live healthy lifestyles, not go on a diet. We talked about that last week. Diets are out. Diets are no good. I've been on them. I know. I've lost 40, 50 pounds, go off the diet and gain 60. I've done that several times. What you got to do is learn to live the right kind of dietary lifestyle. Choose to eat the right kind of things so that you can be healthy. I want to be healthy. My whole thing is cardiovascular. My heart, my lungs, my vascular system. I've seen skinny people that their arteries clog up, and you know, they don't have weight problems, but they have heart problems because of what they eat. So it's important that we learn what to eat. Eating can be healthy or it can be destructive. And if it is to be, yes, it is. Don't you love it? Oh. So we've talked about the spiritual, the mental, the emotional. We've talked about the physical. Today we're going to talk about relationships. We're going to talk about relationships. You and I were designed to be relational. We were designed not to be alone. We were designed to be in relationships with other people. of the same sex, and I'm talking about pure relationships, okay? And with the opposite sex, and I'm still talking about pure relationships. We were designed for marriage. We were designed for families. We were designed for friendship. I see this all the time on Facebook, BFF. And I'm thinking, okay. And I've watched people who've got this BFF, and it winds up to be baloney, fake. Have you ever been around somebody? Maybe you're this way. And if you are, I'm sorry. But they can only have one friend. One friend. I think that's a sign of a problem. I think that's a sign of a problem. We are made by God to be relational creatures. You should have hundreds of relationships in your life. They will all be on different levels. I mean, you will have some intimate relationships. You will have some casual relationships. You will have some one-time relationships. I see people that I meet one time, but yet for that one time, I have a relationship with them on purpose. I choose to be that way. I was not naturally that way. I'm naturally shy. I am. I'm naturally shy. In high school, I told this story about myself, and I hate telling this story about myself, but I had to rehearse for days to ask a girl out on a date. I mean, I got sick at my stomach. My heart was just gripped with fear, and I would rehearse, and I would call, and almost like a robot, hello. I got turned down one time in my life. Thank God she turned me down. But the rest of the times it was yes. But I never felt like I was, you know, good enough to go out with that person, that they were better than me. Better than me. And then I had problems with relationships, with friendships. I would see people walking down the sidewalk. I'd go to the other side of the street so that I wouldn't have to speak to them because I felt inferior to them. A few years ago, this was back in the 90s, I ran for city council. And I remember thinking, I just felt like I was supposed to do that. Excuse me. It was a growth situation for me. But when I thought about announcing for city council, I got deathly sick and just, when I thought about doing that, it's almost like my blood pressure went up because I did not want to put my name out there because I didn't feel like I was as good as. I think some of you identify with some of that. Where relationships are concerned. You know, sometimes when we talk, we say, get up out of your seats and greet one another. And people say, I don't feel comfortable with that. You know what? It's not dangerous to greet people in church. It's really not. We haven't had the concealed carry class yet. March the 11th, 8:30 here at the church. But we haven't had that yet. This is a safe environment. Yeah, but I'm not comfortable. You know what you're saying? That I'm full of fear. See, fear is the thing that stops us from being relational. We don't feel good about ourselves. That's a fear. I don't feel like I am as good. That's a fear. And many times we are just eat up with fears in our life. You were not designed by God to be that way. But you know what? That happened in the Garden of Eden. It began in the Garden of Eden. And it began with a disconnect between man and God. Man and God. When Adam was designed, he was designed by God, for God. He was designed naturally to be in a relationship with Him. And he was. He communed with God in the cool of the garden, and he was with God, and he was not intimidated by God, and he did not feel inferior to God because he was made in God's likeness, in God's image. But you know, there's something that happened We all know about it, about the snake, and how that he tempted Eve to eat the fruit. And let me just read to you a little bit. So Eve ate some of the fruit. Then she also gave some to her husband, Adam, who was with her, and he ate it. Excuse me. Immediately their eyes were open, and they suddenly felt shame. Shame is fear-based. They knew something was wrong. They felt shamed at their nakedness. So they sewed fig leaves together to cover up themselves. We do that in relationships sometimes. Then they heard the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from God among the trees. But God called him, Adam, where are you? Did God know where he was at? Why? He knew exactly where he was at. What was he trying to do? He was trying to get Adam to realize where he was at. He was in a place that he need not be. There's something that happened. Fear entered in. Fear entered in. And Adam replied, I heard you coming and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. And that was the beginning of relationship problems. It started between man and God. It crept into the relationship of Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve's relationship was not what it was originally designed to be. But it took on a different role after that. So today we're going to talk about how our fears ruin relationships. And they do that. As I said a while ago, you should have hundreds of relationships in your lifetime. You should be relational to everybody that you meet. You have to work at that. You have to work at that. I try to speak to as many people on Sunday mornings as I can. Why? Because I desire relationships. Now, different levels of relationship, yes. You know, you cannot have intimate relationships with everyone, but you can have a relationship with people. There's people that I meet when I go to McDonald's, as is my daily custom, except for Saturday. I always greet the people who take care of me. I always ask them, how's your day? How you doing today? You know what they always say? I'm tired. Tired? Why are you tired? Did you not sleep last night? Yeah. I went to bed early. I'm just tired. You know, it's amazing how negative people can be. So if you can be positive towards people, if you can encourage people, people that you may never see again, waitresses, you'd be surprised talking to waitresses sometimes. I start talking to a waitress and before it's over, they're telling me their whole life story. More than I want to know. But what is it? People love being recognized. People love when somebody makes them feel important. People love to be noticed. Oh, yeah, but that's not me. Now, your fear's talking. You're designed to be that way. You like it when someone notices you. You like it when someone affirms you. You like it when you're appreciated. You like that. We all like that. So why don't we give that? Yeah, but people might not like me. Well, see, here's one of two things. I can either be fearful and walk around and not talk to people, and there'll be a lot of people who won't like me because they'll think I'm stuck up. Or I can just talk to everybody I see, and you say, well, some of them won't like you. That's right. But that's not my fault. I'm a likable guy. More people will like you than will dislike you. Yeah, that's easy for you to say. No, I was backward and bashful and shy, and I was afraid to talk to people. I couldn't look at people in the eye. I made myself do it. Why? Because that's what I'm designed to do. That's what you're designed to do. You are designed by God to be relational. What happened in the garden had to do with the fall. Listen, we have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. We have been redeemed to God. And listen, we have also been redeemed to each other also. Our job is to do what? Be light. To be salt. That don't mean you preach to everybody you see. But you look them in an eye and say, hey, good morning. How are you today? And you know, a lot of times they say, I'm wonderful. How are you? I'm wonderful too. Have a great day. Sometimes they say, oh, not so good today. Well, God bless you. You know, so you can have an impact on people. Maybe you'll see them one time in your life. But listen, you may change their mood for the day. You may speak a word to them that causes them to think about life differently. You may say something that may keep them from doing something that they were thinking about doing that was negative. You never know the impact that you might have on somebody else. But listen, if you never get out there and you never talk to people and you never encourage people, I guarantee you're not going to change anybody. Do I change every person that I see? Nope. Nope. My job is to sow the seed. To sow the seed of love, to sow the seed of kindness, to shine the light of Jesus Christ in my personality, in everything that I do. It's God's job to do the work. If I sow the seed, guess what? There's a potential for a harvest. No seed, no harvest. Okay. So we're going to talk about how our fears ruin relationships. We're going to talk about three things, and then we're going to talk about the antidote. Number one, the first fear we learn is this, and it's the fear of exposure. The fear of exposure. The fear of exposure makes me distant. It makes me distant. I'm afraid people are going to discover that I'm not perfect. You know, the best way to dispel that is just to say, folks, you know what? I'm not perfect. I've messed up. That's one thing I love about our church, is that we got a bunch of mess ups. Look at your neighbor and say, he's talking about you. He's talking about you. Not talking about me. He's talking about you. No, I'm talking about all, we've all messed up. We've all disappointed. We've disappointed ourselves. Why not just be transparent about it? Yeah, but people might not like me. They might like your honesty better than your mask that you try to wear. So fear of exposure. Fear exposure. This is what Adam and Eve did. They felt ashamed. They tried to cover up. They hid from God. It's the same things that we do. See, it is a sign, first of all, of a spiritual problem that we have. But listen, God is our solution. He's our solution. And He's the one that's going to bring us out of this. Here's the second thing, is my fear of disapproval makes me defensive. Makes me defensive because people, they might not approve, so therefore I'm defensive. See, here's what Adam did. When God confronted him about his sin, he said, Lord, hey, what my fault? It's her. Her. It's a woman's fault. It's Eve. He confronts Eve. What does Eve say? The devil made me do it. We always passing the blame. We always getting defensive. And, you know, that's a sign of fear that we're afraid that we're exposed and we're afraid of disapproval. So we try to pass blame somewhere else. Why don't we just say, hey, you know what? I messed up. Messed up. People know it anyway. I just messed up. That's hard to deal with. If you deny it, they call you a liar. I messed up. What are they going to say? Yeah, you messed up. Yes. Here's the third thing. My fear of losing control makes me demanding. If I feel like I'm losing control of things, which is a fear thing, it makes me demanding. I demand certain things because I have this fear that I'm losing control. I know people who are so afraid, that people will reject them, that every act that they do ensures the fact that people will reject them. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy of the way that they live their lives. They're so afraid of being rejected that everything they do causes people to not want to be around them. And they say, see, you know, they don't like me. So what's the antidote to this? Fear is not a way that we want to live our lives. Every one of us, let me tell you, every one of us deal with fear in some form. When you say, I'm not comfortable with talking with people, you're saying, I am full of fear. There's people who make me uncomfortable. Those people are my challenge. Those people are the ones that I need to step out and step through my fear and encourage, talk to. Yeah, but they're smarter than me. There's a whole lot of people that are smarter than you. But you know what? Those same people that are smarter than you has the basic same needs that you do too. Smart don't make you awesome. I've seen some smart people that are eggheads. Some of them are teaching in our colleges. I hope there's no professors out there today. Really, smart don't make you awesome. God makes you awesome. Okay, so what is the antidote? It's L-O-V-E, love. Love. It's love from God, and it's love towards your fellow man. Two great commandments. I mean, it all goes back to the two great commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Your neighbor as yourself. That's our mission in life, to love God and to love other people. So how do I do that? Let's talk about some things here. Number one, every day surrender my heart to God. Yeah, but I gave my heart to Jesus in 1971. Yeah, and that's the last time he had it. No, I need to get up every day and say, God, today I give you control of my life. You're not saved every day, but what you're doing is you're affirming who is in control, who you're putting in control of your life. Now, here's what God does. He turns it right back around and gets you involved in it, because if it is to be, it's... So I have to give him daily control. He turns around and gives me more control. When I try to keep control, I lose control. Real control comes through surrender. Through surrender. Surrendering my heart to God on a daily basis. That's important that we do that. Here's the second thing. Every day we need to remember these things. And we're going to talk about these, and I want you to say them with me. Here's the first one. I'm acceptable to God. Say that with me. I'm acceptable to God. Now, that's easy to say, but sometimes it's hard to get that through your thick head. You know you. You know your shortcomings. You know your failures. You know your inadequacies. But you know what? You're still acceptable to God. Here's what he said. Here's what he said in Titus 3:7. Jesus made us acceptable to God. You didn't make you acceptable to God. Jesus made you acceptable to God. When you accept Jesus, He gives you His righteousness. He gives you His acceptance before God. Jesus made you acceptable to God. That is so hard for us to wrap our hearts around, that we're acceptable to God. You are. We think we have to earn that some way, but you can't. Here's the second thing. I'm unconditionally loved. Say that with me. I'm unconditionally loved. Isaiah 54:10 says, "My love for you will never end, says the Lord." When will His love for you end? When, next time you sin? You'll probably sin before the day is over. But His love for you will never end. His love for you will never end. So I'm acceptable to God. I'm unconditionally loved. Here's the third one. I'm totally forgiven. I'm preaching like a Southern Baptist today, so come on. I'm totally forgiven. Say that. I'm totally forgiven. Romans 8:1. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. God is not looking to condemn you. He's looking to fulfill you. See, when I start realizing this, fear will lose its grip on me. Here's a hard one. Here's the last one. I'm considered extremely valuable. That's hard for us to believe. I'm valuable? Say that with me. I'm considered extremely valuable. By who? By God. By God. 1 Corinthians 7:23 says, "You've been bought and paid for by Christ's death." You're valuable. You're valuable. He loved you. He valued you enough to send His Son to die for you. He could have left you alone and you would have died in your sin. But He considered you valuable, and He paid for you by the death of His Son. You don't love anybody that much that you would let your child die for someone else. And I don't either. But He did. And that's awesome. So when we realize, here again, I'm acceptable to God, I'm unconditionally loved, I'm totally forgiven, and I'm considered extremely valuable. That answers all of the inadequacies of our heart. Why can't we be free to turn that around and give that to other people? Why can't we do that? So here's the third thing. We talked about every day surrender my heart to God. Number two, every day remember these things. Here's the third one. Every day offer the same love to others. God has loved you unconditionally. Offer that to others. Yeah, but God, they're weird. You know we're all weird. We're all weird. We all got weird ways about us. God looks at us and think, I love Him. He's weird, but I love Him. Don't we owe that to other people? Don't we owe that to other people? Can I tell you that if you will love people despite what your eye sees, your nose smells, what your intellect tells you, you'll have a greater impact on other people than you will ever imagine possible. All some people needs is somebody that'll show them attention. Somebody that'll say a kind word. We get enough negativity in the world. We get enough negativity with a lot of the people that we hang around with. Christians have the opportunity to be phenomenal when it comes to this. But first of all, you know what? You got to get over yourself. Quit thinking, well, what are they going to think about me? It's not about you. We're supposed to be salt and light. And you can do that everywhere that you go. You'll have to work at it. You'll have to remind yourself to do it. Because it's easy to get in your own little mindset and walking through life and walking by people. People are our purpose. People are our purpose. Planting seed is our mission. And I'm not talking about preaching to people. I'm just talking about loving people, encouraging people, showing them the love of Christ, showing them the fruit of the Spirit. Show them something that's attractive, that when they think about Christians, they don't think about this negative connotation that there is in the world today. You can make a difference. I want this to be the most different church in this town. We have a reputation for being friendly, but we're not friendly enough. Not until 100% of people are being friendly and making relationships are we what we should be. We need to work on that. We all need to work on that. We need to get outside of ourselves and forget about ourselves. You say, yeah, but what about me? If you're busy blessing others, there will be plenty of blessing that comes back on you. It's God's principle. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. And you won't have to seek it. It will find you. They'll say about you, and we got people sitting right here that I hear people say all the time, talking about a particular lady in our church. She is one of the most amazing women that I've ever seen. You know what that is? That's God. That's all that is. That's God's love flowing through her. Because in herself, she could be a mess, just like the rest of us. If we think about our hurt, if we think about our inadequacy, if we think about our stuff, we quit being amazing. When we get outside of that, we can be totally amazing, and God can take care of our stuff. Let's stand together. I apologize for coughing and snotting through this. I will get better. In Jesus' name, I will be better. See, I'm not perfect. Prayer team, would you come? You may need prayer today. I don't know what for. Doesn't matter. If you need to make Jesus Lord, but hey, today's a good day to do that. Maybe you need to make some decisions about your relationships, to not let fear rule your life where relationships are concerned. Maybe you just need to mend some relationships because of that you've let fear creep in. God will help you do that. Whatever it is you need today, come and pray. Hey, let's sing. Why don't we? And worship. I encourage you to worship God today.